His holy name. The rest of you can turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, there in your Old Testament. The book of Judges, you just go to Deuteronomy or Joshua. If you go to 1st or 2nd Samuel, you'll just flip back a little bit. You'll run right into Judges. 1st and 2nd Samuel, then you can go backwards until you back up into Judges. We are looking at the Word of God this morning and in light of Mother's Day. And just want to share a message that the Lord has put on my heart in Judges chapter number 4, please. Things Mom would never say. How on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? You ever heard a mom say that? What about this one? Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Maybe a couple here that'd say that. You never know. What about this one? The curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. Maybe. What about this one? I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. Some of you moms are guilty by laughing, I'm telling you. What about this one? Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. Never heard a mom say that one. We know, you know, moms are known for one thing's for sure above all else and so many other things, but our moms are known as caring people who have a genuine concern for their children. And we're thankful for how they have inspired us and how they've encouraged us. And this morning we're going to look at a lady in the Word of God that you don't hear a whole lot about. But she was a powerful woman of God who the Lord used as a judge in the time of a nation that was awful. It was terrible. It was about as low as a nation could go. And their wickedness and their rebellion against God and what He had called them to do. And we find here in the book of Judges is a period of about 400 years after the time of Joshua, who was, he took the children of Israel into the land of Canaan and saw great victories wrought for the glory of God. But then there came a time after Joshua died that the people of Israel began to slump back into apathy and began to go into the ways of the Canaanites, the people that were surrounding them, and they started basically acclimating to their culture and just simply inherited many characteristics that God had said should be not of His people. And then the Lord, through this 400 period of time, would raise up a series of judges, 13 to be exact. And the one I'm going to talk about this morning is the fourth judge, and her name is Deborah. And the title of this morning's message is Deborah, a mother who inspired a nation. A mother who inspired a nation. Notice with me in Judges chapter 4, I'm going to read several verses there. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, and reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Now that's significant. You should underline that in your Bible. We see that through the book of Judges, that statement, "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. For he had," and that's he is talking about this Canaanite king and this general Sisera. And we see here it says that he had 900 chariots of iron. He was a powerful general of a powerful army. And it says, "In 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." And then look what God does. in verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinom, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon, Sisera, and the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Would you pray with me? Lord, I do thank you for your word this morning, and I thank you for the sweet spirit in this place. And God, I thank you for all our guests and members that have gathered here. And I pray that you would be the center of our attention, that we would be focused upon you and your word, that we would be changed by it. And dear God, that you would receive all the glory this morning as we look at this woman who was mightily used of you. So God, may your work be accomplished today. In Jesus' name, I do ask it and pray. Amen. Deborah, a mother who inspired a nation, is who I want to draw your attention to this morning. In verse 1, we see it describes the nation of Israel as once again suffering due to doing what seemed right in their own sight. By the way, we're always headed for danger when we do what is right in our own sight. And that's what happened here. They had gotten away from God's commandments, God's instructions, and God's directions, and His blessings, quite frankly. And so we see here the mercy of God, but because of that, Jabin was the king of Hazor. He was one of these Canaanite kings. Now, you go through the book of Judges, and you'll notice all these cities and groups of people that surrounded Canaan. They were in battle against constantly, whether it was the Philistines or the Amorites or the others. But in this particular situation, it's the Canaanites. And so in this situation, this particular king, Jabin, however you prefer to say it, he has had the children of Israel under his control for 20 years. As Easton's Bible Dictionary says, it was a degrading subjection. God, in His mercy, raised up another judge for such a time as this. Ladies and gentlemen, aren't you grateful this morning that God will always have somebody that He will raise up to announce the truth of His Word? He will always raise up somebody that will stand upon truth and declare truth and live truth and to give the rest of us hope when that takes place. And that's what we see through this woman of God and how He is going to use her. International Standard Bible Encyclopedia said this, out of the conflict came, for the time being, victory and moral purification. And the inspiring genius of it all was a woman in Israel, a prophetess, Deborah. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, instead of exhibiting spiritual fervor, Israel sank into apathy. Instead of obeying the Lord, the people moved into apostasy. And instead of the nation enjoying law and order, the land was filled with anarchy. Indeed, for Israel, it was the worst of times. And the nation had given away to despondency. Sound anything familiar today? Thank God, Deborah stood and was used of the Lord. This name Deborah means bee. You know, I like what one commentator said. He said she was a honeybee to her friends, but a stinging bee to her enemies. That's a lot of truth to that. She was used mightily of God. A mother who inspired a nation. And my encouragement and exhortation is, yes, primarily applicable to our mothers here today and my sisters in Christ. But I'm praying that this message would inspire every one of us in this room to live for God and to follow in the example of Deborah and how she was used of the Lord. Let me just give you several points here, and I am going to go through them quickly. So if you're taking notes, I have a total of 10 points. And some of you just said, oh Lord, help us. Number one, I want us to see her faithfulness as a prophetess and judge. In verse number five, we see that she dwelt under the palm tree, and that was a not just particular one palm tree, but it was a region of palm trees where there would be shade and where the people could come and be judged through disputes or through areas that or crimes have been committed, and whatever the case may be, she was there to judge. Notice that the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. I like what Jameson Fawcett Brown said in their commentary. And Deborah, a prophetess, said, a woman of extraordinary knowledge, wisdom, and piety. She instructed in divine knowledge by the Spirit and accustomed to interpret His will. She had great influence and a universal respect. You see, God had chosen this woman, the only woman, the only judge that was a woman out of the 13. And there are different speculations around this time. Why did God choose her instead of keeping it all men? Well, there have been different views upon that. But one of them is that there were no men at this time who would take the position that she was ready to fulfill. Now, we do know here in just a minute, we'll see that Barak, who was kind of a judge alongside her in some ways, but he was more of a military general. But God is going to use both of them together, but she's going to be the leader. She's going to give the direction. And we're going to see God use her life to see this Canaanite general destroyed and overcome. So we see her faithfulness as a prophetess and judge. You know, she was dependable. The Lord knew that He could depend upon her. And I think about you mothers. God has put you in a role that He is looking to you to be faithful, to be dependable, to be trustworthy, to not give it over to somebody, some other avenue. He has chosen the role of a mother to be fulfilled only by you. When we think of Eve, who is the mother of living, we think that when God created her, He created her for a specific role that only she can fulfill. A man cannot fulfill the role of a woman, and a woman cannot fulfill the role of a man in the particular design that God gave them, the biblical design. But them together, complementing each other, completing each other, that was God's design. And she was willing to step up to the role. I sadly hear of mothers in today's age that have simply gone AWOL. They're absent without leave. They just basically want to live for themselves. They think of children as a burden. They look at children as just someone that's messed up their lives and who is a nuisance and quite frankly has abandoned them. But I'm thankful for you mothers here this morning and every mother and under the sound of my voice that has said, no, I'm going to be there to fulfill my role as a mother. I'm going to love my children. I'm going to seek to lead my children. I'm going to seek to help my kids. I'm going to sit there and seek to be faithful to the Lord my God. And so we see that's what she had. And then secondly, number two, I want to see her ability to see the strength in others. You know, God had put her in this place in a horrible time in the history of Israel. But notice what she did as she saw the need of the hour. She sent and called Barak. Now, who is this Barak? Now, I do see him in some regards as a co-judge, but more importantly, as a military general. And she's going to call for him, and she is going to see him use his gifts for the Lord. You see, we will, as you study these two passages, you will notice that Deborah will not be recorded as going into battle. I think that's very significant because she had her role. And at this time, she was directing the general. She was letting him know where to go, but she called out to him, and we'll see evidence of that in other places throughout this account, that she had the ability to see the strength in others. And she recognized the strength of Barak to go and fight against the Canaanites. I think of that often with moms. Moms will quickly see the strength in others. They will see the potential that's there. They will see the talents and the abilities that God has given their child or in even other people around them. I'm thankful for the wives that recognize the strengths of their husbands and how he has gifted, how God has gifted their husbands. And they seek to support that. They seek to encourage that. They have the ability to see the strength in others. And I believe that's what she did. And moms, I encourage you, as you grow to be more and more of a godly mother, continue to let God use you to see the strength in other people. Take time to evaluate them and not just be critical. Sometimes the easiest thing in life is just to be a critical individual and find out all the faults and all the weaknesses. But be a woman of God. Be a mother who identifies the strengths in people. And it will build them up. Not that you avoid giving constructive criticism and direction and correction when needed, but the fact of the matter is, make it a point to see the strength. And then number three, we see her confidence in the Word of God. Notice with me in verse 6, she calls out to Barak, and notice what she says at the middle of verse 6. Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor. She is giving a command here to send this army, the army of Israel, to go and attack and to set up to attack the Canaanites. But her foundation was the Word of God. Her confidence was in the Bible. Mothers, please, let your greatest confidence in life be the Word of God. Let it be your Bible. Stand upon your Bible. Never apologize for your Bible. Let it guide your heart and mind. And let it guide the hearts of others, the ones you have the possibility to influence, your children and grandchildren and others around you, even your husbands and others. And this goes for all of us. But the confidence was in the Word of God. You never know how deep your impact will be upon those around you. I think of a couple quotes here. I like what Jill Churchill said. She said, there's no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. Did you catch that? There is no way to be a perfect mother, but there are a million ways to be a good one. And the best way, and one of the best ways that you can be a good one, is let the Word of God be your foundation in life. Let that be your guiding compass, that guiding direction that you have. Make the Word of God a priority in the life of your own life, in the life of your children. I'm thankful for my wife. And many times when I have either grown cold or I have just lost my focus on perhaps reading the Word of God with the family, I have a wife that has reminded me, honey, would you like to read the Bible with the family? Or just a friendly, gracious reminder. I'm thankful for that. And ladies, there's nothing wrong with that in your life. Now, not to be a nag and not to be critical in that way. That's not what God wants. But there's nothing wrong with being gracious and reminding people that the Word of God is the most important book in this life. It's got the most important message, and we ought to make it number one. You know, Mrs. Jones relaxed by reading her Bible each day. And after observing this habit for several years, her four-year-old daughter asked, "Aren't you ever going to get finished reading that book?" She saw her mama reading that book every day. And in her mind, but thank God, that's a testimony of a woman of God who loved her Bible. And I trust that you mothers here are seeking to walk with God. I hope your kids and your grandkids see you reading your Bible. I hope your husband sees you reading your Bible. I hope that you in this church will have an impact on others in this church of loving the Bible and reading the Bible. I tell you, that's what I believe Deborah had. Deborah, she said that she was one that said, "Hath not God said, hath He not commanded to go and draw?" She had confidence in her Lord. Number four, her willingness to be a completer. Now, verses 8 and 9 are some very interesting verses and have some different takes from different ones, but I'm going to give you mine, okay? I could be wrong, but I'm just going to tell you what I believe is going on here. Look at Barak's response to her. He says, "If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." It's very clear. He's basically saying, If you're not going with me, I'm not going to battle. But you know, I see here, number four, her willingness to be a completer. I don't believe Barak was a coward, folks. I do not believe that he was a coward, but I believe he realized that the power of God was upon Deborah and that he needed her to be there going into battle. And I don't ever suspect, and I don't believe she ever would leave me, but I told Joanne, I said, "Honey, if you ever leave me, I'm going with you." I'm telling you right now, I need my wife. She's my completer. I can't pastor this church without my wife. I can't be the daddy I'm wanting to be without my wife. I cannot be the Christian I'm wanting to be without my wife. I don't want to go anywhere without her. God has gifted her, and God has gifted you, moms and wives. God has gifted you to be that one who brings completion to the family, the one who gives that hope and peace and that encouragement that only you can give. I'm thankful for that, and I don't blame Barak one bit to say, "Ma'am, I'm telling you right now, sister, I'm not going into this battle unless you're going with me." And we see that she's a completer, and she agrees. She says, you know what? She says, "I will surely go with you." But she reminds him, she says, "But let me tell you something, you won't be getting the honor of taking out Sisera. He is actually going to be taken out by another a woman by the name of Jael. Jael's going to take out this general, but she is saying, I will go with you." A godly wife and mother will not try to control those around her, but will motivate and inspire them to fulfill their God-given role and potential. Because I've seen it before with a wife or a mother in the home. They try to parent, or they try to fulfill the wife of role of controlling. God's given them some strong points. God's given them some special gifts. And instead of allowing that to be developed by the Lord and having that gift under control, they end up taking the position that God simply wanted them to just be an encourager, to be a motivator, to be a completer. And that's what she did here. She says, "I'm going with you, but you're going down there and fighting." And I thank God for the women of God that will stand up graciously with their husbands and their children and says, "I will fulfill my role that God has given me, but you have a responsibility to fulfill. You are to do what God has called you to do, and you're going to go down there and you're going to fight those Canaanites." And he did. She didn't go down there with him, but she went with him. She compromised. She met him in the middle because she was a completer. I'm thankful for that. I trust that the Lord will help each of us to have that spirit, to realize and have a spirit of wanting to complete one another and help one another, not to dominate. But number five, we see her confidence
that God would bring the victory. God would bring the victory. Notice with me, in verse 9, she said that I'm going to go with you, but again, the honor is going to fall upon another. And she sees that, and she believes that God is going to bring the victory. In verses 14 and 15, notice what she says. And Deborah said unto Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" See, she is challenging Barak in the sense of encouraging him, motivating him, inspiring him to go and fight. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And look what God did in verse 15. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his host and the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off the chariot and fled away on his feet. You see, she had confidence that God was going to bring the victory. Flip over with me to chapter 5 just for a moment. Notice with me in verse number 2 and even through 5. Listen to her heart's desire for the Lord. Now, this is, Deborah, a song that she wrote with Barak. This is a song that is of praise, that is of confidence of God. You ought to read this chapter sometime and just dwell in it, think upon it, meditate on it. But this woman of God wrote this beautiful song to the glory of God. But notice what she says. She says, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel," when the people willingly offered themselves. She's going to go ahead and say, and even verse 5, "The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel." She is dwelling here on the fact that God is the conqueror, just as the men sang earlier, and that's where her confidence was. Her song exposes the impotence of Baal. You notice she uses some terminologies here that gives an imagery of storms there in the first part of chapter 5. She says the mountains melted. And then in verse 4, she says the clouds also dropped water. And it's interesting that she brings that out, because remember, the Canaanite god was by the name of Baal. And they believed wholeheartedly that he was the god of the weather. And she points out that no, Baal is not the one who is sovereign. He's not the one who is the Almighty God. It's Jehovah. It's Elohim. It's Adonai. It's the God of Israel. He's the one who is the true God. And she believed with all her heart that he was going to bring the victory. And moms, can I encourage you today, whatever you're facing in your family, in your life, let there be the spirit of Deborah in your heart today that God is going to bring the victory. And trust him. It'll inspire many. It will inspire possibly even the nation that you live in. God used her for that. Number 6. Notice her vision to see righteousness prevail. Notice chapter 5, verse 7 in your Bibles, please. Would you notice there with me? Chapter 5, verse 7. We see her vision to see righteousness prevail. It says, "The inhabitants of the village ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose." That I arose. Now, you ought to mark this in your Bible. "That I arose a mother in Israel." A mother in Israel. How fitting to reflect even this morning upon this woman of God who fulfilled the role, not just the mother of her biological children, but we see here that she was a mother of a nation that God used her to care for and to judge and to lead. And how encouraging that is today. Her heart was set on victory. You know that the terminology she used, "the villages ceased." What is she talking about? They ceased in Israel? What is she talking about? She's basically saying everything was shut down. People were scared to death. People were living in fear. Oh no, doomsday attitude. We have no hope. There's never going to be any peace. There's never going to be any victory. We're all doomed. Deborah stood. She said, "Until Deborah stood." She arose and was a mother in Israel. Her heart was set on victory. I like that quote by Dwight Eisenhower. But right before D-Day, he sent out that letter to all those, to the thousands of young men that would storm the beaches of Normandy. And I'm just going to give a couple quotes from that. But he said, "Your task will not be an easy one." And moms, I say that to you. I can't say that I know how you feel. But one thing I do observe, just observing my own mother and observing my wife, your task is not an easy one. But I know God has given you the grace and the ability and the power to fulfill that role for His glory. And Dwight Eisenhower went on to say to those young men, he says, "Your task will not be an easy one." He said, "Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened. He will fight savagely." And can I pause right there and make some application? Mothers, you know this. The enemy will fight savagely to take your children. He will try to rob them of everything that the Bible stands for. He will try to deceive them and take them out. And you as a mother have the ability to have a vision for them, to see God work in their lives, and to see the impact and inspiration that you can give them. And you can. And I believe you will this morning. And I trust you will. Because this is what Eisenhower went on to say, and I believe God is saying it to us through His Word. He said to the men, he said, "I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle." And he went on to say, "We will accept nothing less than full victory." And my friends, I want to tell you something today. Mother, dad, every person here, that is the attitude God wants us to have. Settle for nothing less than full victory. And by the way, full victory is not this perfect imaginary world, this fantasy that everything works out all right. No, there's going to be failures. No, there's going to be heartaches and headaches. And there's going to be a lot of that. But can I tell you this? The victory is all depending on whether or not we just stay faithful. That's where the victory is. We don't give up. So we see here her vision to see righteousness prevail as a mother in Israel. 7, we see her desire to follow the old paths. Notice with me in verse 8 of chapter 5. Notice what she says right after this song. She says that I arose a mother in Israel. Please underline those words. Verse 8. She's saying about the children of Israel. It says they chose new gods. Lowercase g. They chose new gods. So in other words, the children of Israel started taking the customs of the Canaanites and their religious customs, and they started worshiping the same gods. And they started in a way that was new. But not Deborah. She stayed with the old paths. And the failure of the children of Israel was to find some new way. And you think that the enemy has changed his tactics over the past 3,000 years? No. He's still teaching our generation, find a new way. Find a new way that just feels good to you. Try a new God. This God of the Bible, He's an old God. That's an old path. That's way outdated. Find you a new way. But thank God for Deborah, who said they were choosing new gods, but I stayed right where God had me. And my encouragement to you moms here today is don't move. Stay with the old paths. Stay with the Word of God. Be filled with grace and with truth. And you dads as well, and you young people here, take heart this morning and don't fall for all the new gods that are out there, that are offering you all kinds of things. Say, you know, I think I'm going to stay with the same God. The Jesus who said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. You see, they continually incorporated the gods of Canaan. Deborah's heart was to stay faithful to the one true God, Jehovah. He is the one true. He shares His name with none other. There's no God like Jehovah. No God. And my encouragement to you is to live that out. And let His name be praised. Jeremiah the prophet dealt with the same thing. In chapter 6, verse 16 of Jeremiah, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Wherein the good way? Wherein is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, sadly and tragically, "We will not walk therein." But may today we have some mothers that stand up with the grace and power of God, and some daddies, and says, "We're going to walk that way." And some teens here, some young people, college age students, that will say, "We're going to walk on the old paths. No matter all these new ones that are being developed, we're going to stick with what God has said." Number 8, I'm closing quickly here. Her praise for the accomplishment of others. Notice in verse 9 and 24, quickly, we see her praise for the accomplishment of others. She said in verse 9 of chapter 5, she says, "My heart is toward the governors of Israel." Why? "That offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord," she says. Notice verse 24 of chapter 5. She said, "Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall be above women in the tent." Those two situations, she is praising those that stood for righteousness. And I believe that one of the ways she inspired a nation was her praise for the accomplishment of others. This Jael was the one that, I don't have time to go into it this morning because that's a whole different message, maybe for next year's Mother's Day message. But it was this Jael that took the tent stake. No telling how long that thing was, but it was a tent stake that when this general Sisera came in to the tent, she was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't even an Israelite. But he came into the tent and she offered him some warm milk and a place to rest. And he said, "Now listen, you hide me because they're coming to look for me. There's a guy by the name of Barak. He's trying to take my life. Just hide me and tell him I'm not here." She said, "Okay." So sure enough, he fell asleep after drinking that warm milk. And by the time he dozed off into a deep sleep, she took that peg and a hammer. And this is evidence that she worked hard with her hands, that she probably was the one that set up the tents. And that makes perfect sense to me, because when we worked among the Tuareg out in the Sahara Desert, the women were responsible for setting up the tents. And they did a phenomenal job. But this woman had obviously had experience, and she took that peg and put it right at his temple and drove that peg right through his head. And she'd eventually cut his head off. He said, "That's mighty violent. This was a time of war." And this dispensation here, you say, "Well, she shouldn't have lied." Well, let me tell you, it was a time of war. In a time of war, there's a set of rules there that you don't have to be honest. In other words, I'll give you an example. When we went into the Normandy invasion, some of our paratroopers would be dropped down on the beach, and they set down these dummies in parachutes. There are these dummies that say, "Well, that's lying. That wasn't real people." It's a time of war. And those Germans, they thought that were these dummies floating down from the sky, and they even had little poppers on them to mimic the sound of shooting firecrackers. And man, those people, and that was being deceitful. It was a time of war. And this lady right here knew that the God of Israel was the right way. And she hid this man and then took his life. And of course, that's exactly what Deborah said would happen. She was a prophetess. And she even told Barak that he would not take the general's life, it would be another woman that would take his life. Can I just say here, be ready to praise others. Moms, I appreciate your words of praise. I can't tell you how many times my spirits were lifted when I would call my mom and she would just give me a word of encouragement. And it just could be just a couple words. There's so much power in praise. Moms, I appreciate that. Don't lose that. Reach out to your children. Reach out to those around you. Give them words of encouragement. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." And remember that, ladies, the next time Satan comes to you to tempt you to gossip, to tempt you to be critical of another woman or another person in an evil way and to talk bad about them. Remember, God has called you to have the law of kindness in your mouth and to be filled with grace. That's how you're going to inspire people. But number 9, it was her ability to encourage herself in the Lord. Notice verse 12 of chapter 5. She says, "Awake, awake, Deborah." She's talking to herself here. You know, sometimes in our day and age, it's hard to know whether somebody's talking to themselves or they're talking on a Bluetooth earpiece in their phone. Sometimes that can be quite deceiving. Somebody's just going to town and talking and carrying on, and you don't know whether they're just having a time with themselves or on the phone. But in this case, she was speaking to her heart. You know what she was telling herself? Now get this. In the moment of battle, as a prophetess, as a judge of the nation of Israel, I'm sure there were times of discouragement. But this is what I believe she was doing. I believe she was saying this, "Deborah, it's time to sing. It's time to sing." This is a song that she wrote. And no matter your circumstance, Mom, tell yourself today, it's time to sing. It's time to arise. Arise, as Deborah would say, and utter a song to the Lord God of glory. And let all your problems just go to the wayside. Not that they're going to disappear, but they're going to fade, my friend. When we can get a song, and dads, it goes for us too, everybody here, if we can just simply realize that we got to let a song come from our heart to the Lord God and encourage herself. Mom, I encourage you to do that today. And 10, and last, please notice with me in verse 31. Of our text, chapter 5. I believe she was a woman that inspired her nation because of her commitment to intercessory prayer. Verse 31. Notice what it says. She said this in her song, and it's a prayer. "So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord." Remember, that's Jehovah. "But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might." And the land had rest 40 years. I believe that she inspired her nation because she was a woman of prayer. Hey, listen to me. If you're here today and you got a praying mama, I'm telling you, God's going to get you. All the praying mama said, God's going to get you, and not to make your life miserable, but there is something to be said about a mother who gets a hold of God on the behalf of her children. Throughout history, we've seen the power of that prayer, that the Lord just meets that person. And it's like that person, that child, can never get away from the voice and leading of God. Whether they go here, east, west, north, or south, wherever they go on this globe, some way, somehow, God is trying to reach out to them. And I want to tell you why. It's a praying mama. Mothers, don't stop praying. If you're not praying right now, make a commitment this morning that, "Lord, I have left my watch and I want to pray for my kids. I want to be renewed in how I pray for them specifically, how I pray for their spouses, how I pray for their children, how I pray that God would continue to lead them and protect them." Moms, be renewed in your resolve to move the hand of God upon your children. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." Listen to what D.L. Moody said. "The impression a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. Perhaps when you are dead and gone, your prayer will be answered, mother." Don't give up. God's working. God's moving. And that's what she prayed here. And you say, "Boy, isn't it wrong, this imprecatory prayer, to pray for somebody to die?" Well, again, this was a time of war. And this is a different dispensation, but I will make some application here. How can you pray this type of prayer today, 2021? I'll tell you how you can pray. You can say, "Lord, take out the enemy that is seeking to destroy my children." You don't have to go into detail what the enemy is. God knows who the enemy is. It might just be a way of thinking. It definitely means the evil one. But what you can pray is, God, take out the enemy so that my children can think properly, so that my family can walk in the fear of God. And then you pray that the love of God would shine brightly upon those that are making a path and making right choices. Pray that they'll keep those decisions. Pray that God will keep that burning desire to love Him fresh in their souls every day. And I want to tell you, when you do that, the Lord's going to honor your prayers. Let me close with this quote. John Wesley, a man greatly used of the Lord. Notice this quote. It's short, but please do not miss it. He said this: I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. Moms, never underestimate your impact upon this generation, upon your family. Never. God is using you, and for that I'm grateful. Would you pray with me?